So we're in Romans chapter 10. Let me tell you some things that we've started doing. We want so much more than just Sundays. So we are groups. A lot of you meet in groups. We used to do community groups a lot. We are going to be moving into groups in the first of the year. We're going to start doing some training in the fall. They're going to be different in mission than they were in the past. Y'all, I'm having a hard time today. So we want, I can't wait for y'all to be in groups. I mean, you're a church that loves to get together anyway, but just want you to know we haven't forgotten about that. We've just been spending some intense time before the Lord asking him what it looks like for our church going forward. And he's started telling us, and it's awesome. So we're just trying to stay, just follow the, we call it the breadcrumbs of the Holy Spirit. Just follow the breadcrumbs of the Holy Spirit. So to keep it from just being Sundays only for the next, 6 months or so, let me tell you what we're doing every single week to help you grow. I tell you this in case you haven't seen it. I used to feel bad thinking that the church doesn't communicate well, but now I realize that we can communicate all the time and people can still miss it. And it's not because we're not good at it or you're not good listeners. It's because we're human, right? Y'all ever had that happen? Forgot something really important. So here's something that happens every week. Every Monday, if you're on our mailing list, you get 2 emails a week. On Thursday, you get an email that's got like announcements and stuff. On Mondays, you get an email that's called the Monday Morning Recap. And it's just a link to the message in case, I talked too fast or I didn't say something or you missed what I said and you want to hear it again. Or if you weren't able to be here, you can go see it on our YouTube channel. We've also started doing daily devotions. Every single week you have Monday through Friday devotions that are based on the message. We've been doing that for months now. Some of you are like, what? Why did I know about that? I don't know. But now you do. Sometimes we're pretty sure that we know we send the emails, but it doesn't mean that you got them, right? So if you're not getting those, I'm going to give you a really important piece of information in just a second. My cell phone number, and you can let me know that you're not getting it, and we'll make sure that we got it worked out. Here's the second thing that I'm doing. I just started doing this 4 weeks ago, and it's a weird name, but I just call it the What I Wish I'd Said podcast, and it's just like, literally, I mean, like, when I get done preaching, you can ask Wendy, this is our Sunday on the way home from church, I'll look at her and go, God, what I wish I'd said was, and so I'm doing a... And that sounds really super snazzy, doesn't it? I'm doing a podcast. I'm sitting in front of a camera and talking to you about what I wish I had said differently. Or if I get home and think, man, that wasn't really clear, or I totally messed that part up, let me try to correct it. And then my favorite thing is I love y'all. I love when you come up to me and you say, well, if you've ever done this to me, it's such a gift. Man, I wish people do this all the time for pastors. When you actually come to me and say, I thought I heard you say, did you really mean, and I'm able to go, oh, no, that's not what I meant at all. Or, yeah, let me make that is what I meant. Let me help you with what you're struggling with. So that's such a gift, right? Feedback is such a gift. And so that's happened a lot lately is people just walk up and go, I heard you say this, but is that what you meant? So I try to answer those questions as well. So if you're a note taker, I'm going to give you my cell phone number. And if you have a question after a sermon, you can send me a question. You can text me. You can say, that was a great point. Or, and I love this too, we've had some people come up to me after the messages and say, you said this and God showed me this. And then I usually say back to them, oh my man, that is so good. I wish I'd have known that because I would have said it, right? And so on Monday mornings, I just try to share with you what also people have shared with me. It's how the body grows. My cell phone number is 704-322-1366. That is actually my cell phone number. It's not anybody else's. Please don't use it at 2 in the morning to ask me a question about whether or not Adam had a belly button. Because we all know that he did not. Or maybe he did. Doesn't matter. But seriously, if you have a question, ask me. I mean, you can ask me after church, but I'm just saying, if you get home, you're in your car, you're driving home, you have a question, just ask, right? So, and here's the third thing that I've just started doing, and we'll do this from now until Encounter, is these are on our YouTube channel. A couple times a week, I'm just read these stories about revivals, past revivals, and they are encouraging me and convicting me and making me hungry, and they're just, this is a Pentecostal phrase, they're just wrecking me, right? I mean, I'm just, and they also, they're mind-blowing. I shared this past, I think Friday, I shared a written testimony about what culture was like in the year 1790. And it was bad. It was like if you took out the year 1790 and you put in the year 2024, it describes our culture today. And it's a good reminder. Because I think a lot of times we think that, man, it's just so bad. It's never been this bad ever. No, it has been. Have you read the book of Judges? It's a cyclical thing. And it has been this bad. And that 1790, that was right before the second great awakening. And sometimes when it gets this bad, God's right. He's like, here we go. It's time. We're going to bring an awakening. So anyway, those are on our YouTube channel. So you need to be getting emails. You need to be doing the daily devotions. You need, if you got questions, ask me. We're an open book here. I'm not an expert on the Bible. I'm just a person apprenticing under Jesus like you. And we're sharing stories of revival because I believe that this year's encounter is going to be unbelievable, right? Because there's such a growing hunger in our body. Okay, that had nothing to do with the sermon, but I hope that helps you. My cell phone number, one more time. I don't give this out because I think I'm all that in a bag of chips. Actually, I'm always told to change my cell phone number, which I think is ridiculous. Literally, I've had pastors say, you should change your cell phone number so that people can't reach you. Like, I think the whole point is that they can reach me. 704-322-1366. How many of you have tried really hard not to text me right now? Oh, you're okay. I thought I felt my butt, but I'm kidding. If ever there was a sentence that you should finish, it was that one, Paul. Vibrate was the word I thought I felt it buzz. Anyway. All right. We are in Romans chapter 10. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to be in Romans chapter 10. I'm going to do this week. I'm going to do next week. And then I know you're excited about this. 3 weeks from 2 weeks from today, Seth is preaching. I know. I'm just as excited as they are. You want to do it now? You can come now. Today we're going to do verses 1 through 4. And I think then like 5 through 13. And then I think you're 14 to the end or something like that. We're close, right? So let me just tell you what the next 3 weeks are going to be about, just so you have a framework of where we're going. Today we're going to talk about how the law points to Jesus. And then next week we're going to talk about how he's the only one who saves, which is why the law points to Jesus. And then Seth's going to get up and he's going to talk about how because he's the only one who saves, we better start telling people about Jesus. So I know it's easy to read Romans. It's easy to kind of get lost in it and go, like, man, there's so many words here that I don't understand. But that is what chapter 10 is about. The law points to Jesus because only Jesus can save. And if only Jesus can save, why are we not telling people? Right? We need to get busy about that and not in the red-faced preacher voice. Just telling people about Jesus and his love. So today, we're going to talk about verses 1 through 4. Why don't you go ahead and stand while we read it. Paul writes, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved." Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
"For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes." All right, y'all can be seated. Tell the person next to you, the law points to Jesus. This is going to be really simple. And I know some of I don't know if that offends you or not. Sometimes we just want things to be deep, deep, and use big words, Paul. And no, not today. Not today. So I asked God, like, give me a big idea. And he said, the point of the law was to point to the Son. I was like, that's good. That's really good. That's exactly what it is. The point of the law is to point to the Son. And then I felt like God said, let's make it even simpler. Let me give you a two-word big idea. Passion points. Passion points. Now, here's what we've done in American church. I can't speak about other countries because I don't live there. But in American church, we have made an idol out of how we point. Okay. I thought about doing this because I don't have muscles, but if I had muscles, like we could point like we could point like that. And depending on what your muscular makeup is like, you would wear shorter sleeves and you would hold that pose for a long time, right? Sometimes we just do the cool point, right? Sometimes we are so broken that all we can do is lay on a gurney and just, but we're still pointing. And what I want you to get today is that we have made an idol out of how we point. There are people who will not go to a local church and hear a message because they can hear a better pointer online. And as a pastor preaching in a local church, I agree with them. Those people are better, which is probably why they're online and have millions of followers. They have millions of followers. They have millions of followers. But they are just the pointer. Passion points. Passion points. It does something that makes us go, wait, what are they so passionate about? What are they pointing to? Passion points. And so here's three things that describe how passion points, right here in the first four verses. Number one, passion points with the right heart. Paul said, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved." He had the right heart. Now, it's been a hot minute since we read the beginning of chapter 9. But doesn't that sound familiar? Remember how Paul was like, I would rather be just cursed if my people could be saved. Sometimes we forget that the Roman church heard this letter in one sitting. So parents in the room, you've had the meeting with your family, right? Where you've said the same thing in the span of about 5 minutes, enough to make your children roll their eyes? That's what was going on here. They had just heard it, and now they're hearing it again. You and I heard it about a month ago, and now we're hearing it again. He had the right heart. He was pointing to Jesus with the right heart. I want you to see this. And so clearly the early church had a problem with idol worship as well and celebrity culture too, because he wrote in Corinthians, like, Apollos plants and I water and God brings the harvest. And so they all had their favorite podcasters, right? And he was like, no, don't look at me. Look at what I'm pointing at. It's Jesus. And I want y'all to know him. Passion points with the right heart. Passion points in the right direction. Verse 2 says, I can testify about them being the Jews, that they are zealous for God. But their zeal is not based on knowledge. It's been like somebody getting in their car and driving really fast. And then getting wherever they're going. Stopping the car, getting out, and realizing that they went completely in the wrong direction. All they did was get farther from God really fast. Zealous for the right, for the wrong things. Like having a lot of zeal. Do y'all know people like that? Are you people like that? I can be. We just get really passionate about the wrong thing. I was thinking about back in the day when I was youth pastoring and PowerPoint was a thing. Who remembers PowerPoint? God, help us to forget, right? I mean, I know it's still around, but back in the day, it wasn't nearly as automated as it was. I remember preparing these slides for the youth ministry, for the youth service, and I worked hours to get this little thing to like slide across the screen whenever it would come up. And I was like, I was so proud of what I had done. And then when it was time to show it on the TVs, the little bitty TVs that people in the back of the room probably couldn't even see, and I was standing in front of the TV, I hit the slide, and the first thing I thought was like, where's that thing I worked so hard on? I had my screen zoomed in at like 400% when I was working on it. So it looked humongous, but it was really very small. Some would even say invisible. I was really zealous about that dot going across the screen, y'all. But I put all of my time and energy and passion in the wrong place. That's what the Jews were doing. They were zealous. Man, we live in an age where people are zealous, right? They are all about what they're all about. Man, some of us are just all about the wrong things. And we're really passionate. We really believe in what we believe, and yet sometimes we really believe in the wrong thing passionately. Passion points with the right heart, passion points in the right direction, and then passion points to the right Savior. Verses 3 and 4 says this, since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Let me just read verse 3 again. This is going to be a hard one. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God, and they didn't know it. That's the right way to say that. It wasn't because they were ignorant. They knew it. I mean, they knew. The Jews knew the law. But they didn't see what it was pointing to. They were so fixated on the pointer. We better obey the law. We better do everything the law says. Don't break any commands. Make sure you got a lot of lambs and goats and bulls stored up so that when you mess up, you can make a sacrifice. They were so fixated on that. On the Sabbath, only take 6 steps and stop. Because anything beyond that's work. That's like, they were so fixated on that they missed the point. And the point of the law was to point to the Son. And then Jesus was there and they didn't even see him. That's why they did not know the righteousness that comes from God, because the righteousness that comes from God has a name, and it's Jesus. So they sought to establish their own. And please get this. Because they were trying to establish their own righteousness in what they were doing, they would not submit to God's righteousness. The reason that we don't submit to the lordship of Jesus is because we're pretty sure we can do it better. But I have proof that we can't. I think we have some slides. I like Pinterest fails. They're fun to look at. Can we show a few of those? Now, Pinterest fails for me are proof that we aren't nearly as good as we think we are. We tend to overestimate our ability, yes? Yeah, you just scroll through those things. I think we've got like 10 because they're just fantastic. Wait till we get to the last one. You're going to love it. By the way, I'm not knocking you if you've ever tried to do one of these, but these are terrible. And if one of these is your picture of your cake, I'm sorry. Gina did not have a happy birthday if that was for her. That's terrible. I think we might be at the last. Yeah, that's the last one. Y'all, I'm not a big Dolly Parton fan, but who is that on the left side of the screen? Dolly Parton meets a monster mermaid. I don't know what that was at all. When I look at those, I mean, those are funny and all, right? But it just reminds me that we tend to overestimate what we can do. I don't need Jesus to save me. I can save myself. I don't need a Lord over my finances because I know how to balance my checkbook. I know we don't have checkbooks anymore, but you know what I'm saying. And then what happens is our lives become train wrecks. And we wonder how. And we come to God and we say, like, God, why is my life a train wreck? So, well, you're driving it. Because the Jews were convinced that they could save themselves by following the law. And let me be even more clear. I don't know that Jews who believed the law felt like they could save themselves. I think they felt like if they followed the law, they would put themselves in a position to be chosen by the Messiah to be on his side when he overthrew what they hated. Kind of like how we're pretty sure God wants to save the things that matter to us because we've been a good Christian. I read the Bible 4 days last week. More days than I didn't. So I'm pretty sure you're going to be on my side now, right? They felt like they would have righteousness because they did the right thing. But passion points to Jesus. Passion points to the right Savior. And the law cannot save. You and I not getting a special seat in heaven because we came to church this morning. I'm so glad you came, right? But this is not saving us. This is not getting us to heaven. This should be transforming how we live our lives here on earth. It's not going to get us to heaven. We're going to get to heaven because Christ, verse 4, is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. It's the end of the law. Have you ever believed something so passionately and then somebody proved you wrong? Has that happened to you? Was it hard to let go of what you believed in? So put yourselves in a position of the Jews who have been all in on the law. The law that was from God, right? He gave the law so that they would see Jesus when he came. Jesus said, I've not come to do away with the law, I came to fulfill it. The law always pointed to Jesus. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's here. Can you imagine being all in on that and then realizing, wait, the law's not the end. The law was just a means to point us to Jesus. And now that he's here, that's done. And you and I already believe that. That's why you don't have a goat or a bull with you today. Right? Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. So what do we do with that? Do we stop reading the Old Testament? No. Because the Old Testament points to Jesus. Do we stop going to a church that we like? No. We just recognize that the church that we like is just a pointer, right? Some people love really outlandish pointers, and we call those people Pentecostal. Some people really love quiet pointers. And there are denominations that fit that. And it's okay. But when our style of pointing becomes a source of contention, we just identified an idol. Right? Because if we're all pointing at Jesus, then that's what matters. Right? Y'all, that's the unity that matters, is that we all are pointing to Jesus. Let me see if we have a whole room full of people that can agree about just some simple things. Raise your hand if Coke is better than Pepsi. Yeah. Raise your hand if you think those people are wrong. It's okay when all of us, see, like, check this out. Oh, one more. This is too easy. Raise your hand. Okay, Tar Heel fans, identify yourselves. Be proud. Be proud. What's wrong with y'all? Duke fans, show them what team spirit's all about. Yeah. Listen to me. The point of these first four verses in Romans chapter 10 is that people that you don't agree with about some things that really matter to you can still be pointing to Jesus. I've said this all the way through chapter 9. There are people that will be in heaven who do not agree doctrinally on everything in Romans chapter 9. And they will spend, if they're not careful, we will spend our entire lives on earth instead of pointing to Jesus together, pointing out what's wrong with how we're pointing. We've got to be a people who can receive truth from voices we don't prefer. Because that's maturity. God, I'm not even sure I like the way you said that, but you definitely pointed me to Jesus, and I'm going to receive that. Instead of it better be exactly like I like it, or I can't receive it. And then if those people are pointing us to Jesus, we're going to miss him. Not from a salvation way, like I'm going to go to hell because I didn't listen to that preacher, but I'm going to miss what Jesus might have for me in that moment if I didn't receive what he wanted to say to me through somebody I didn't prefer. All right, we need to pray. I've gone far enough. We'll pick it up next week. I think we're good. Let's stand together. Should I give you my cell phone number one more time? I feel like I'll get lots of texts today. 704 322-1366. Feel free to send me a text and say, that was fantastic. Also, feel free to send me a text and say, you said this, I don't know what it meant, but can you explain it? And I won't say your name tomorrow, but I'll shout out the question. Yeah. What's that? No. Not at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to put your hands out in front of you. I just want to pray over you. God, I just thank you for this body. God, I thank you for what you're doing in us, preparing us for a culture, a country, a city that is looking for hope. And that they are the ones that are like, I've tried all the things and my life is a wreck and somebody please help me. And God, we're saying today, use us. Use us to be pointers. Just to point people to you. God, give us passion for you that points people in the direction where they can find you. You are the only one who saves. The law points us to you. It's all about you. It's always been all about you. And I'm asking, God, that you would anoint us as your body, as your bride this week, to speak the truth in love to people who are looking for truth. That we would be the kind of people that can point others to Jesus and never let them stop and admire us. Even arguing about how we point God just distracts people from seeing Jesus. So God, help us just to, like a neon sign, like, there's Jesus, there's Jesus, there's Jesus. And I pray, God, for testimonies this week of how people's lives are being transformed because we showed them you. Anoint us for it, God, we pray. In your name, Jesus, amen. Amen.